Hi there, everybody. Hope this finds us all doing really well. We're up to the great test number 5. And in part 5, we're going to unpack verses 9 to 12. So I'm going to read you verses 9 to 12. And I hope you're getting a lot out of this great test. We will all face tests in our lives. And as we've looked at, God sends some tests. And just things through circumstance and situations happen to us, so we'll be tested. And we know the scriptures say, test to see if you're in the faith. And in looking at Abraham's life, we can see he was in the faith. And we're going to look again at that. So Genesis 22, 9 to 12. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad. And do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Interesting words. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son. And we're going to look at this a bit later on, that the wisdom that Abraham demonstrated was the evidence that he feared God. Now, when we say fear God, we mean had an awe, a wonder, and a reverence for who God was. He's not in the corner somewhere in the fetal position being afraid that he's going to be punished. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. And so I'd like us to put ourselves in Abraham and Isaac's shoes. What do you think it would have felt like going through the very thing that they're going through at this time? Isaac finds himself being tied up and being laid on the altar on top of the wood. Now you've got to remember, in previous resources, Abraham said to Isaac, the Lord will provide the sacrifice for himself. And here Isaac finds himself bound up and laid on the altar on top of the wood, knowing that the wood is going to be lit for the sacrifice. Interesting. How would you feel if you were Isaac in that situation? It was only seconds earlier, as I said, that this reality was, hold on a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. He's watching his father draw up in his hand the knife, knowing that his father's hand is about to come crashing down and thrust into his heart, literally ending his life. Put yourself in Isaac's shoes and try to imagine what it would have been like with what he went through. This again is the father that he trusted, who said God will provide the lamb for himself, the burnt offering. What about being in Abraham's shoes? Certainly these shoes, in fact, had to be worse shoes to be in out of the two. So out of being in Abraham or Isaac's shoes, which one would you want to be in? I've heard many followers say to me that there is no way that they could be in Abraham's shoes and do what he's about to do. And how can God even ask Abraham to do such a thing? And I guess this is a very normal and natural response when a person doesn't have the kind of faith that Abraham had. People say the trust factor must have been massive. And I say yes in the case of Isaac, but not in the case of Abraham. Abraham had something greater than trust. For Abraham, it was the faith factor, which was the massive part as per the previous resource we looked at when we talked about Abraham having a great faith. The faith of Abraham, listen to this, birthed within him a great fear of the Lord. Now, once again, fear being an awe, a reverence, a wonder, a holiness and a purity of who the Lord is. This Abraham had because of the faith he was in. And this is greater than Abraham's fear or any feelings or emotions of losing his son. This is how powerful it is to have great faith living within you. It trumps fear. It trumps the flesh. It trumps the natural. Abraham could have easily been paralyzed by being afraid of what God was asking. But the reality is, Abraham lived out the exact opposite. So, question, do we have this kind of reverence and awe and wonder for the Lord because of the kind of faith we have and are growing in? A spiritual kind of faith, not our version of what we believe and think faith is. This faith also empowered the hearing of Abraham to hear the angel's instruction to put the knife down. Abraham was tested by God, and he proved to not only be a faithful man, but be a man full of faith. Let me say that again. Abraham was being tested by God. Not only did he prove to be a faithful man, but a man full of faith. What proved he was a man full of faith was the wisdom he demonstrated in going to sacrifice his one and only son. James talks about the need for having a faith and deeds, and the need for people to live out these deeds by faith. You see, the deed was followed his faith. Faith empowered the deed. And this is a perfect example of this right now. Abraham's faith is not empty. It's not a wishful thinking. It's not, I really hope something different happens. Abraham's faith is being expressed through an eternal demonstration of wisdom, what he was about to do. This will be something we all live out as well if we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "You say you have faith, show me your deeds, I'll show you my deeds by my faith." And so the work of God, the righteous act, was done by faith. Abraham clearly demonstrates that his heart was completely empty of himself and anyone else or anything else. His heart was 100% the Lord's. There was not one inch of real estate in his heart that was not the Lord's, and you and I are to be no different. That is what it means to be wholehearted in our worship and our devotion to God. Anything other than this position is to be indifferent and to have a divided heart. When we look in the Old Testament, we see men like Caleb and Joshua were wholeheartedly fully God's. And that's why they stood out from everybody else. And that's why they entered the promised land when everyone else didn't. Same with us. We will never know what it is to receive the promises of God if we are not wholeheartedly abandoned unto him. So the wisdom which Abraham demonstrated externally was due to the wisdom which was in his heart internally. The wisdom which Abraham demonstrated externally was due to the wisdom which was in his heart internally. And we know Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. There was no separation between what the Father instructed and what Abraham demonstrated. All this made possible because of the kind of faith Abraham had in God. His deed was a direct result of his faith. And his deed was a righteous act of the saints, which Revelation talks about. So, Revelation 22, 12 to 13. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to everything man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. Faith and works go hand in hand. You can't say you're a person of faith and not have works. But it's not just about doing any works and saying, look, I'm a person of faith. These are the words of the Alpha and the Omega, the great I am, and he does not lie. Those who truly are in the fear of God, meaning the awe, wonder, and reverence of the Lord, of who he is, don't withhold anything from him, not their own lives or any other person or possession. Let me say that again. Those who are truly in the awe, the fear, and the reverence of the Lord, of who he is, don't hold back anything or withhold anything. Not their own lives, not those they love, or their own possessions. So the question again, do you and I have this kind of heart? So some questions for us. Put yourself into Isaac's shoes and describe what you might have been feeling while being laid on the altar. If we haven't already discussed this question, do we have this kind of reverence and awe for the Lord because of the kind of faith we have and are growing in, then discuss it now. How empowering is this fear of the Lord to our lives? Why do followers fail to have this kind of heart towards God? Why is it essential our deeds are birthed and based in and of faith and not in and of flesh or feelings? And how aware are you of the reward which Jesus brings with him? What is this reward that Jesus is going to bring? So I look forward to seeing you in part number 6 of The Great Test. See you soon.